Hi everybody, I hope this finds us all doing really well. We're up to part 7 in the Great Test, and we're going to look at the power of the promises revealed. The power of the promises revealed within us, and just what that enables us to live. And as we've been looking at, we're going to look at Abraham as our example. Abraham had these revealed promises within him, and it enabled a certain kind of behavior by faith, which was eternal. And so we're going to look at verses 15 to 17 in Genesis 22. And we're also going to dive into Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, and just see how these relate to Genesis 22. So Genesis 22, 15 to 17 says this: "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies.'" What a powerful promise God bestows on Abraham because of the wisdom that he displayed, not withholding his only son, but willing to sacrifice him because that was the command of heaven. What a powerful promise God gives to Abraham, that he would multiply this seed, not seeds, but this seed, his seed. It's amazing who spoke to Abraham and confirmed the way he lived. It was the angel that spoke. The confirmation isn't coming from man, but the confirmation is coming from heaven itself. As I said, it was the angel of the Lord who testifies to this wisdom that Abraham had lived out by faith. What an amazing thing to think that heaven is the one bringing the confirmation, that heaven is watching the way we live. And when we live in an alignment to heaven, heaven confirms this for us, so there can be and is to be no doubt. What was this faith that Abraham possessed which empowered him to demonstrate this eternal wisdom, this not withholding his son, this incredible eternal reality? What was this faith, this kind of faith, the spiritual faith that empowered and enabled this demonstration? What did Abraham have an unwavering hope and conviction of due to his faith, which empowered him to lay Isaac down as a sacrifice unto the Lord? Remember, at this time, Isaac was Abraham's only son from Sarah. This was the son of his own bloodline. And it's here that I want to look at Hebrews 11, 17 to 19 in relation to this, and see what we can learn about this kind of faith. It says this: "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received them back as a type." And there's some key words in here. There's some key verses in here. And the words, "he who had received the promises." Let me say that again. He, Abraham, who had received these promises, was offering up his son. What promises had Abraham received from God which birthed, formed, and established a kind of faith which freed Abraham to lay his only son down as a living sacrifice? Remember, this is Abraham, this is Isaac, and Abraham had been waiting 25 years for the promise that God had given him. What was it? What were these promises that Abraham had possessed that he'd laid hold of that enabled him the absolute assurance and conviction of this reality in the unseen, seen realm called the Spirit? Well, the first one is that Abraham knew God would provide a lamb for the sacrifice. And we see this in Genesis 22:8. And we've covered this before, but I'm going to cover it again. Abraham said, as he's talking to his son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Just like God provided the lamb and his son, God would provide the lamb for the sacrifice for Abraham. And Abraham knew this, and he spoke of this reality to Isaac, even though he was prepared to go through the process and lay Isaac down and go through sacrificing him. Number two, God had promised Abraham that Isaac would be the seed which the nation of Israel would come through. And we just looked at that when we looked at Genesis 22:15-17. But another passage is Genesis 15:4. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but the one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. There's the promise from God to Abraham that Isaac would be the heir of the throne. He would become king, and out of his seed, Abraham, Isaac would become nations. And the third thing is Abraham considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. So Abraham knew, even if he went through and sacrificing his son Isaac, God could and would raise him up. And these three powerful promises is what Abraham shaped his faith. And from this reality of this knowledge he had, he lived from the promises by faith. Powerful, powerful, which empowered this eternal wisdom, this demonstration which the angel gave testimony to. It was this demonstration of wisdom due to the revealed knowledge of these eternal promises, which was the evidence of Abraham's faith, which released the blessing of God upon Abraham's life. Now, the book of James talks about having faith and deeds and the importance of having faith and deeds. We need the two combining as one reality. This is a classic example of what faith and deeds look like working together, because all of the deeds must come by faith, not by flesh, by faith. The deed of Abraham to offer up his only son is a work birthed, established, and accomplished by Abraham's faith, led by God. This is what God describes as a righteous act of the saint in Revelation 19:7-8. It's an act or a deed which gets rewarded now, as we can see from these verses, and also rewarded in the future in relation to the receiving of the wedding fine garment for the bride of Christ. Revelation 19:7-8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The bridal garment is not the garment of righteousness. The bridal garment, the fine linen garment, is a garment of righteous action, or acts, deeds of the saints. Acts that have been performed by faith, like this one. The blessings upon Abraham's life due to this demonstration of wisdom were 100-fold. Listen to this. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. Abraham not only passed the test of whom he loved the most and whom he was living for, but he also got to receive the outpouring of God's richest blessings upon his life, which would all toward go toward his reward in the future kingdom of heaven and in the new heaven and the new earth. This is how important it is to be receiving all of the promises of God through the revelation of the Holy Spirit within us. It empowers us to be able to demonstrate the wisdom of God in our lives today, which not only releases the blessings of God poured out upon our lives now, but also in the age to come, in the roles to come, in the coming kingdom of heaven, and in the new heaven and the new earth. When we live like this, we will be rewarded. If we don't live like this, we won't be rewarded, and we will suffer loss, as the scripture declares. So it's essential and it's important that we know the promises that are concealed within the Christ, so we live out this eternal wisdom now by faith. So questions for us: how important have you considered the promises of God in your life to date? What connection is there between knowing these revealed promises and the true measure of spiritual faith we possess? Why must every deed be accomplished by this kind of faith and not of the flesh? How many eternal promises that are concealed in Jesus do you know? And how are these promises impacting the demonstration of your life? And question five, and the final question, is what is your life telling you in relation to the faith you hold? This is part 7. Look forward to seeing you for the final part 8. Take care.